If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. As we begin the spring season 1973, we're greatly rejoicing in the good things the Lord has done for us here at Worth Baptist Church. We believe that our city, of all cities in the nation, is blessed of God. Our city has had every opportunity to experience a real revival in these days. All over the city of Fort Worth, there are churches that are true to the gospel. There are preachers who are preaching the word. Today, we ought to be eternally grateful for the opportunity to worship God as we see fit. We should be thankful for religious freedom, for the privilege that we have to go to the church of our choice. May I say to those of you who are listening today to Worth Baptist Hour, if you do not have a church home, if you are looking for a place to worship God, we extend to you a cordial invitation to come and visit Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school is thoroughly graded. It's carefully supervised. Our textbook is the Bible, the Word of God. And we have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. Today, our Sunday school lesson will be a survey of the book of Jude. We would be more than happy for you to come and bring the whole family to study the Word of God with us in the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock. Our Sunday morning worship hour is at 11. And you'll discover a friendly and a spiritual atmosphere in which to worship God. There'll be singing that will thrill your heart, and the message from the Word of God will challenge your soul. Come today to the morning worship hour at 11, and then our Sunday evening worship hour is at 7. I am currently in a series of messages entitled, It's in the Book. These messages are dealing with vital issues and vital themes in the Word of God and in everyday life. My message tonight at 7 will be entitled, The Bible and the Church. Just what role does the church play in the 20th century? Is the church of God? Is the church given the right to go into the various areas of the world and preach the gospel? What makes up the church? Who founded the church? What is the mission of the church? What are the ordinances of the church? What's it all about? The Bible and the church. That's my message tonight at 7 o'clock. And no doubt many of your questions concerning the church will be answered in this message, The Bible and the Church, tonight at 7 o'clock. And then we want to make this special announcement. Our spring revival begins on April the 26th, that is April the 29th, and continues through May the 6th. Our evangelist will be Dr. B.R. Lakin. Dr. Lakin is a great man of God. He's a powerful preacher of the Word of God. You'll not want to miss one single night of the 8 days of revival beginning on April the 29th and continuing through May the 6th. That's our spring revival with evangelist Dr. B.R. Lakin. And I hope that you'll make your plans now to attend these revival services. In the meantime, again, we would be happy to have you even today in the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock, the morning worship hour at 11, the Sunday evening worship hour at 7. Worth Baptist Church is located at 3309 Wilbarger Street. We are easily accessible from all parts of the city of Fort Worth by the Pauley Freeway, that's Highway 287 South, and by Loop 820. Come today and visit the Sunday School and the services of worship at Worth Baptist Church. And we would be happy to hear from you by mail this week. We would like to know if you receive this broadcast and if it is a blessing to your heart and to your life. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. May the Lord bless you as you're tuned our way today to hear the gospel of redeeming grace. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, The Bible and Religion. I shall read from the book of Acts, chapter 17, at verse 22. But before we read the Word of God, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful today for Thy blessed book, the Bible. We thank Thee that Thou hast ordained a day upon which we can come to worship Thee. We thank Thee for the church. We thank Thee that Thou hast given us the privilege to preach the gospel of redeeming grace. We thank Thee that in our city and in our country, we have freedom of worship. We pray today that people all over this city and all over this county and all over the country and yea, around the world would take advantage of the opportunity that Thou hast afforded to worship Christ. Bless this broadcast and bless the services of worship this day. May many souls come to know Christ and may many hearts be blessed. Is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. The Bible and Religion. My text is a part of the great sermon that the Apostle Paul preached in the long ago on Mars Hill. Paul was speaking to the intellectuals of his day, for Athens, Greece, was the intellectual capital of the ancient world. The message of the Apostle Paul was an uncompromising message. He preached Christ crucified and risen again from the dead. The Bible and religion. What does the Bible have to say about religion? What do you think about religion? I begin my message today with a riddle. What is worldwide in scope? Something almost everybody has in one form or another, and is used by millions as a substitute for the real thing. If you answered religion, you are correct. Religion is worldwide. Religion is universal. Almost everybody has some kind of religion, all the way from Africa to America. From the jungle to the metroplex, men everywhere are plagued with religion. One of the most difficult things about religion is its definition. Just what does religion mean to you? Someone has suggested that there must be 10,000 definitions to the word religion. Webster defines religion as follows, and I quote, The service and adoration of God or of a God as expressed in the forms of worship. This is religion, according to Webster. In the world today, there are 11 major religions. They are Hinduism, Buddhism, Confucianism, Mohammedanism, Sikhism, Taoism, Shintoism, Zoroastrianism, Jainism, Judaism, and Christianity. The difference between Christianity and all the other religions of the world is Christ. And this is a difference that is as wide as eternity. Only Jesus Christ is alive of all the founders of the religions of the world. He alone can say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Only Jesus Christ could say, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and hell. Yes, Jesus Christ is the difference between Christianity and all the other religions of the world. Jesus Christ makes Christianity a way of life. Jesus gives to Christianity an eternal dimension. All other religions say, do and live. Christianity says, live and do. You see, Jesus Christ has already finished, has already completed the work of salvation on the cross. From the cross he cried, it is finished. So, when we approach religion, when we approach the way that God wants us to go, we must recognize that the way of Christ is the only way, because in his own body, on the tree, he has borne our sins and has paid the price for our salvation. Someone has noted that man is incurably religious, and this is borne out by the fact that of the 3.5 billion people on earth, 3 billion of them identify with some kind of religion. The largest known religion in the world today is Christianity, with more than 1 billion followers. The fastest growing religion in the world today is Mohammedanism. Incidentally, more people are named Mohammed than any other name in the world. On the continent of Africa, for example, for every one convert there is to Christianity, there are 6 converts to Mohammedanism. But religion does not save. Religion does not satisfy. Religion does not secure. Religion only temporarily pacifies the insatiable appetite that man has to identify himself with a mystic power somewhere beyond himself. My text says, ye are altogether too superstitious. In the Greek it is rendered, you are very religious. At Athens, Greece, on Mars Hill, there were at least 12 altars. Each of them had an inscription to a god. One of them had an inscription to the unknown God. Paul said, you therefore ignorantly worship him. Him I will declare unto you. Beloved, man must know God before he can be saved. There is no way for you to be saved today without knowing God. You must know God by experience and not by explanation. After all, who can explain God? Paul writes in Romans 11, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. For who hath known the mind of God? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, that it should be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Man cannot know God by education. If he could, how intelligent would man have to be? Man cannot know God by science. If he could, what formula would he choose? The sinner cannot know God by religion. If he could, what religion would he choose? What approach would he take? The only way for a sinner to know God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. My friend, today, the only way you can know God, the only way you can be saved, the only way you can have your sins washed away is through Jesus Christ, God's Son. Paul supports this truth in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, where he writes, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, after that he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. There is only one God, and there is only one way to reach God. Paul puts it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 6. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Our God is the creator of heaven and earth and all that is therein. Our God is the possessor of all things. I read in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that are therein. Our God does not dwell in pagan temples. Our God dwells by His Spirit in the heart of every born-again believer. Our God has guided the history of the nations throughout all the years. In the book of Isaiah chapter 40, we read that the nations of earth are but as a drop in the bucket to God. There is a legend that tells us that the Emperor Julian, making light of Christ, once asked his servant, "What's the carpenter's son doing now?" And the servant wisely answered, "I suppose he's hewing the wood for the emperor's casket." All things are in the hands of God. He has decreed that Jesus Christ will be the great judge of the universe. Our God is omnipotent. Nothing is too hard for Him. Our God is omniscient. Nothing is hidden from Him. He knows all things. My friend, today God knows you. He knows all about you. He knows where you live. He knows where you work. He knows who your family are. He knows all the things that are in your heart and in your mind and in your life today. Our God is omnipresent. He is everywhere present. Our God is the God of salvation. The psalmist declared in Psalm 3:8, "Salvation belongeth to God." And in Psalm 68:20, the psalmist said, "He that is our God is the God of salvation." The Bible and religion. What is the difference between religion and salvation? Religion is an experience with a mystical idea. Salvation is an experience with a mighty person, and that person is Christ. And the Bible declares, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Religion is an experience that requires only a new thought. Salvation is an experience that requires a new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3:5, "You must be born again." Religion is an experience that takes place in the head. Salvation is an experience that takes place in the heart. Paul writes in Romans 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Salvation is a heart matter. There must be something happening in your heart. By your heart and with your heart, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Religion is an experience that is brought about by good works. Salvation is an experience that is brought about by God's grace. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Religion is an experience that involves receiving a creed. Salvation involves receiving Christ. John chapter 1 declares, "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." What is the difference between religion and salvation? Religion is external. Salvation is internal. Religion is transferable. Salvation is non-transferable. Religion is temporary. Salvation is permanent. Religion is earthly. Salvation is heavenly. Religion is cheap. Salvation is costly. Religion is a counterfeit. Salvation is the real thing. Religion is only endured. Salvation is enjoyed. Religion is based on feeling. Salvation is based on faith. To have religion means to have a reformation of one's behavior. To have salvation means to have a transformation of one's heart. To embrace religion means to subscribe to the rituals, the ceremonies, and the catechisms. To embrace salvation means to accept God's Word, God's gift, God's Son, and God's Holy Spirit. What is the difference between religion and salvation? To receive religion means to receive a creed. To receive salvation means to receive Christ. And when you receive Christ, His life becomes your life. His joys become your joys. His sorrow becomes your sorrow. His friends become your friends, and his enemies become your enemies. His cross becomes your cross, and his glory becomes your glory. Religion will change your mind. Salvation will change your heart. Religion will excite your flesh. Salvation will excite your soul. Religion will revolutionize your thinking. Salvation will revolutionize your living. Religion will take you nowhere. Salvation will take you to heaven. There is a vast difference between religion and salvation. Almost everybody all over the world has some kind of religion. But only those who have had a personal experience with Christ, a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit that we call the new birth, has salvation. Only those who know Christ Jesus, only those who have been born again, only those who have tasted the heavenly gift, only those who have received Christ into their hearts have salvation. Which do you have? Do you have religion or do you have salvation? Are you religious or are you saved? Have you had a reformation or a transformation? Do you believe in a creed or do you believe in Christ? There is a vast difference. If you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, then today you are lost, however religious you might be. You may belong to the church. You may have been baptized. You may have learned the catechisms. You may have gone through all the rituals and ceremonies of your church. But unless you have Jesus Christ living in your heart by faith in His finished work upon the cross, then you are just religious, but yet without salvation, without Christ, and without hope in the world. I would say to you today to put down all of your religion and begin this moment to trust Jesus Christ for your salvation. If you will but open the door of your heart and let Jesus Christ come in, if you will but this moment acknowledge that you are a sinner and receive Christ as your Savior, you can be saved. May the Lord bless you as you do that right now. And as we leave the air, may we remind you again that it would be our joy to have you worship God with us today in the Sunday School and services of worship here at Worth Baptist Church. Until next Lord's Day, at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your home, and upon your family. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.